This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the pastor, L.R. Shelton, the late pastor, was a founder and pastor here of this work for about 50 years, going on to be with the Lord now, and left us these gracious messages recorded many years ago, some of them. And we're bringing them to you because the Lord led us to do those things. And we think they are very enlightening and very informative messages and heart-searching. So if you would, you stay with us. The title of the message today is The Fountain of Cleansing. You know, every poor soul comes into this world a sinner. We need to be cleansed, don't we? We sing that song here, Wash Me in the Blood. Oh, my friends, we just don't hear much about the blood today. We don't hear the old blood songs anymore. Our modern churches now don't have any good blood songs in their songbooks. I've been to funerals and looked through the songbook, and all you could find was What a Friend We Have in Jesus and one or two maybe others. But we have 9 full-length CDs here recorded by our late choir before Katrina, and they're available at $5 each. I'll be glad to send you one, and you listen to it, and maybe you'd like to get all 5 of them. And if you would, they're $5 each. But the title of the message today is The Fountain of Cleansing. Oh, what a cleansing it is when the Lord reveals to you that Christ died for you. But we'll give you the mailing address and more information at the close of the service.
Now with your Bibles, let's turn to Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12:10 and read, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and thy wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and thy wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and thy wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and thy wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and thy wives apart." You know, there's no difference when it comes to conviction and repentance. "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. In that day of mourning, in that day of repentance, a fountain shall be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." In this scripture, the old prophet Zechariah is giving us a picture of what is going to happen when Jehovah gathers the Jews back to Jerusalem in the closing days of this age, just before our Lord comes back to reign. This is a prophetic picture of God pouring out His Spirit of grace and supplications upon the Jews, which breaks them to repentance and sets them mourning for Christ, whom they rejected and crucified and sent back to heaven not wanted. Now you get it, you listen. When the Spirit of grace is poured upon those Jews in the last days, and their hearts are open, and they come to see that the Christ that they rejected is their Messiah, then they'll begin to mourn for Him as one mourneth for his firstborn. Then what are you Gentiles going to do who's been fighting the Jews and are bitter against them? You'll go to hell for your trouble. There's a heartfelt repentance and leads to the fountain of cleansing, which is the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as their revealed substitute, Savior and Lord. How we long to see that day as we approach the end of this age. But my friends, let's make that individual this morning. Let's make that personal with you. This is also a picture of every sinner who ever gets saved. He comes to the fountain for sin and for uncleanness through the bitterness of repentance. Let me repeat that statement again. Every sinner who ever gets saved comes to the fountain for cleansing and for uncleanness through the bitterness of repentance. There is no other way. There is not. I dare and challenge any individual to take God's word from Genesis to Revelation and show me one other way for a sinner to be saved. except to come to the fountain of cleansing, which is Christ, through the bitterness of repentance. We have been showing you from Sunday to Sunday what this fountain is, as set forth in the Old Testament, in type through the death of the substitute, and how it was fulfilled in the death of Christ on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension back to the Father. Let me say right here, now you get this truth and hold it. God has never had two ways of saving a sinner. God has always had only one way by which a sinner is saved from Adam until now, and from now until he comes again and winds up everything. And that is through blood redemption in Christ, the fountain of cleansing to which every sinner comes if he gets saved through the bitterness of repentance. Someone wrote me the other day and said, oh, you know, back there doing the law, folks are saved by the law. Don't be funny. No individual ever has been saved by the law. You can't show me one verse in the Scripture where a sinner ever has been saved by the law. It has always been by blood redemption. The Lord God of heaven has provided a founding for cleansing, for sin and uncleanness, for everyone who will come repenting and believing. This founding, praise God, is Christ. God has no other way to cleanse a sinner from sin and his uncleanness except by the shed blood of the Son of God. Now you drive a stake down, hold it right there. In Hebrews 9:22, he says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews says again that he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In 1 Corinthians 5:15, he's, brethren, I preach unto you the gospel, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Then the Apostle Peter said, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, religious profession. That's what it means, vain conversation, religious profession, received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Then John in Revelation said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Then Paul said to the Romans, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. What happened? Christ died for us. Now you let that soak in, will you? Then in Hebrews he says again, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He says again, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Then he says again, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in what? Into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank God, salvation is eternal and by blood redemption. Yes, what a founding of cleansing. Then we could sing anew that old song, there's a founding filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all thy guilty stains, guilty stains. Then we could sing again, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This fountain for sin and uncleanness was purchased at the cost of the life of our blessed Lord. Then we could sing again, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil or victory win? There's power in the blood. That's right. Now let's look at this thought. How is the founding of cleansing open to sinners? Do you know anything about that founding, my friend? I do. Do you? I'm asking you. I'm not talking to the one by your side. I'm not talking to your friend across the creek, across the city. I'm talking to you. Do you, my friend, know this founding of cleansing? Let's look at it. How can we enter in? How can we come to know it experimentally? The fact is clearly stated there is a founding for sin and uncleanness. Why does not everyone take advantage of this founding? Why don't they flock there for cleansing and salvation? I know modern day preaching says, whosoever believeth it. Salvation isn't believing the fact of this founding. Now you believe that fact and go to hell. Just because the medicine's in your hand and you believe that medicine will heal you, that medicine will not have any effect on your body until you take it. And brother, salvation will not have any effect on you until you take it. All right, you listen. You listen. Salvation is entering into this founding of cleansing. Salvation is entering into the blessing of the atonement wrought out on the cross in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His burial and His resurrection. Zechariah 13:1 says, in that day there shall be a founding opened for sin and for uncleanness. Then in Hebrews 10:19 we find these words, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath opened for us. You see, there is an open door to the founding, don't you? Yes, an open door. God has opened that door, and it stands open. It's open now. Why don't you enter in? Why don't everyone enter into it? Why are so few saved? Why do so few folks talk about the founding? Go to your church this morning or tonight, or Wednesday night, and my friend, you'll find very few who will talk to you about that founding. They'll talk about everything else but the founding of cleansing. I was in a home the other day, out in Radio Land, and as I went there in the morning, the lady of the house was out in the strawberry field picking strawberries. We walked out there, and she said, good morning, Pastor. I said, good morning to you. Isn't the Lord gracious? She said, gracious indeed. We walked on back to the house where we met some other friends, and there we sat in the front room for a while, and she told anew how God had redeemed her by the precious blood of the Son of God, and then said, Pastor, I don't understand how that He could save a wretch like me. I said, you never will, and I don't either, and I never will. We can sit and admire Christ. Why? He let us into that founding for cleansing. And I talk about that ever old modernist and ever fell out on a profession of faith and don't know anything about it will get mad and say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I certainly do know what I'm talking about. Listen. They'll talk about everything else but the founding of cleansing. Why? Because they haven't been there. Have you been to the founding, my friend? I have. Have you entered into that door and been cleansed, forgiven, pardoned, saved? Do you go in and out, enjoying the privileges and blessings of that founding which is Christ in Him crucified, buried, risen, and exalted? I do. Once you enter in, you go in and out and find pasture. You know, Paul said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, that's about all he talked about. Christ and Him crucified. Paul entered into that founding. He had bathed in that founding. He knew the blessings of that founding. Everywhere he went, he talked about it. Everyone who's entered into that founding wants to talk about it. Some of you folks have entered into experiences, and you've seen visions and dreams, or you've had a little bodily healing, and that's all you want to talk about. Like a woman got up the other day and made a testimony, said, I praise God, He healed me. Said, I wish God had put more in the Bible about bodily healing. Well, that individual's not saved. There's nothing about salvation. But listen, the poor old sinner who's come to that founding, Christ, sin-laden, sin-smitten, sin-cursed, and who has found cleansing and salvation and pardon and forgiveness and has entered into the blessings, and he never gets away from it. He knows it. That founding is open to you if you'll come repenting. And my friend, you'll never cease talking about that founding if once you've been cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. Now, why don't you come? In the first place, you don't want to come. You don't want to come. Just be honest with you. You don't want to come. If I've heard folks say, I don't know why God don't save me. Well, you don't want to be saved. There's no want to in your heart. You don't want to be saved. You don't want to come. The average individual does not want to. You've never seen your need of cleansing, brother. If once God strips your heart and lets you see your utter dirtiness and filthiness and uncleanness, you'll cry for the fountain to be opened, and you'll not rest until God opens that fountain. You'll find yourself in the need of nothing. You're satisfied with what you have, your little earthly possessions, and your this thing and that thing. When you move, you don't see your need of cleansing. Lost? Yes, and don't know it. Going to hell and don't want Christ. Blinded and do not know that you need salvation. Isn't that an awful state to be in? It certainly is. Now let's notice this thought. Who can come for cleansing? In short, anyone who feels his need and will come. Now let's look at Zechariah 12:10. Listen to God's word. And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Are you listening? Or did you turn around there to say something to somebody? Huh? You didn't catch that scripture, did you? You're trying to make up your bed there. You're serving breakfast or dinner. Are you? Listen, will you listen, friend? Just lay down everything. This is a life and death proposition to you. It is. And it's a life and death proposition to me. Listen here. Let me read this scripture again. Now you get it. I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him, Christ, as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him, Christ, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Then it says, in that day, what day? They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Yes, in that day, when the sinner comes to feel his need of Christ, and he so wants Christ until he's mourning after him, nothing else will satisfy him but Christ. In that day, he cannot live without Christ. That day, he will enter into the fountain of cleansing. The day that you can't live without Christ. That's the day that you'll enter in. As long as you can live without Christ. When you come to the place, give me Christ or I die. I'm gone, Lord, save me. Lord, hear me. That day the fountain of cleansing is open wide to him. I want to tell you, my friends, all of this little believingism and free willism that has poked off on blinded humanity for salvation has resulted in the most tragical situation we face today in our church life. It makes me fear and tremble as I see the emptiness and shallowness of it and the blindness of our people. I'm crying loud and sparing not. It matters not what you think about me. It matters not how much you discuss me. Yes, sir. Two women riding on the bus one day, and one said to the other, "Where are you going?" "I'm going down to the tent to hear Pastor Sheldon speak." And she said, "Have you been waking the fact you're lost yet?" She said, "I certainly have." And she looked her right square in the face and said, "If you hear him two or three times, you'll be waking the fact you're lost because you're in the same boat I'm in, and both of us going to hell." Christ said in the closing chapter of Luke, "Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Repentance and faith are the means of grace to enter into the fountain of cleansing. Someone said the other day, "Brother Sheldon preaches works for salvation." I don't do it. Repentance and faith are not works. That's grace. They're means of grace. Turn there to 5:31, Acts 5:31. And it was God who gave repentance to Israel. Then if you'll turn to Acts 11:18, he said, "He also granted repentance unto the Gentiles." Repentance is not works. It's a means of grace. True repentance is always manifested by sorrow of heart, by great mourning and bitterness of heart. Modern day thinking is that repentance is not necessary. They'll tell you, read the Gospel of John, and you'll find believe or believing 103 times. And the word repentance is not mentioned one time in the book of John. That's true. But repentance is written from first chapter to the last chapter of the book of John. It's written all over it. You're just blinded. You can't see. Modern day thinking is that repentance is not necessary. Or it's only a mere change of mind. Or turn about faith. Someone said the other day to a pastor and said, "Do you preach on repentance?" He said, "Certainly I preach on repentance." Repentance is just a mere change of mind or turn about faith. Said, "That's all repentance is." Well, that poor blinded fellow doesn't know what repentance is. But my friend, true repentance is a deep, radical, fundamental, lasting change. It's a change of mind. But oh, what a change of mind. It's a turning. But oh, what a turning it is. And it's always accompanied with a sorrow that can only be described, as Zechariah describes it, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And it goes on to say there should be a great mourning. To the average church member, there is no change. He or she lives the same life. He always lives. If there's any change at all, it's just a little surface reformation. And the average church today does not know what real mourning is. Will you pray with me for a spiritual awakening, my friend? Will you dare to do it? I dare you this morning, and I ask you tenderly and kindly, will you pray with me that God will pour out His Spirit upon this vast lady audience, in your heart, upon the hearts of your family and friends. May there come a great refreshing from the portals of glory. Will you pray with me for it? Will you? Our Father, this morning and today, we pray for such an awakening that will begin in my own heart, that will begin in every heart that's listening now, every engineer and announcer throughout Radio Land that's handling this broadcast, every individual in their home, place of business, wherever they are. Lord Jesus, open the heavens and let them come down and be with us. May our Lord be real again to His people. Our Father, we pray this morning that Thou wilt, for Christ's sake, and according to Thy will, give us such a refreshing from the portals of heaven upon the hearts of men and women everywhere. For Christ's sake, we ask it. And will you continue, my friend, to pray with me? The individual, get it now, who can look back upon his past with pleasure, or look upon the idea of returning to his sin without an inward loathing and disgust, has never repented. He knows nothing about repentance. Let me tell you, my friend, you can walk out of your church. If you can walk out of your church and light a cigar or a cigarette and stick it in the corner of your mouth and smoke it, I doubt if you know anything about the Lord. You who can leave your church tonight and go to the picture show or the lodge meeting, know nothing about the Lord. I mean, this Lord's Day. Your whole life has never been changed. The average individual in our church, your church, anybody else's church, who walks out the door today, knows nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say there's so few saved? That's right. They ask the Lord one day, are there few that be saved? Your whole life's never been changed. As the believer's knowledge of guilt becomes greater, as the believer's knowledge of his old sin nature is revealed more and more, his mourning becomes deeper, and his hatred of sin grows in proportion as he understands the love of Christ by which his sin has been put away. More and more, as we come to realize our utter helplessness and our indebtedness to God's grace, and more, as we understand the sufferings of Christ in order to purchase our redemption, the more we hate sin and abhor it and regret it and mourn over it. That's true in my life. I believe it's true in yours. Let me tell you something else. The individual who knows his sins are pardoned and forgiven, who knows that he is in Christ Jesus, never ceases to mourn for sin this side of the pearly gates. Repentance never ceases from the time we start repenting until we die and enter in to the pearly gates. I'm talking to awakened sinners out there this morning and throughout the day. And I'm talking to you, my sinner friend. Rest there. Look to Christ. Ask Him to give you a broken heart. There's another point about repentance, and that is, the prophet said, all the land were to mourn. That is, to mourn in bitterness as for the death of his only son. The individual who misses repentance, misses Christ, and the founding of cleansing. There never has been, is not now, never will be salvation granted to any soul who is not truly repented. There's another manifestation of true, genuine repentance for sin, and that is, it is personal, and so individual, that it is apart from everyone else. The individual who truly repents turns away from sin with a hatred, turns to Christ as if he or she were the only sinner who had ever lived, and the only sinner that Christ ever died for, and the only sinner that Christ ever saved. You know, my friend, salvation's that personal. When you see a sinner getting alone and mourning over his sin apart, quitting the company of his fellows, laminating his sin apart from everyone else, you may know that he's truly repenting. That's right. That's right. No sinner! I see no genuine evidence of repentance in any sinner's heart until that sinner is moved to get apart from every one of his fellows and mourns alone. He don't want to be with anyone else. Now, my friend, such an individual does not mourn by the clock. He does not have any set time for mourning. Others may be praising the Lord, but he's mourning. Others may be thankful for broken hearts, but he'll be smiting his heart, lamenting and mourning because it will not break. It is so hard. Every individual must mourn for sin apart, and there is no regulation, no regulating it by the movement of the clock. And he said that they'll mourn apart. That is, some may weep over their sins. Others are not able to shed a tear, but their hearts are mourning. Some will go about not saying a word, silent, but their heart is crying out unto the Lord God of heaven. Now, my friend, do you know what repentance is? Do you? That heart that's mourning over sin will never tell all the secrets that God reveals to that heart.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here, First Baptist Church of Algiers in New Orleans, formerly in New Orleans, Louisiana, till Katrina came along. Now we're in Walker, about an hour's drive from New Orleans, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to tune in each week at this same time to hear another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message. And also, I'd invite you to call me. My phone number here is air code 225-664-8658. I'll be glad to send you a catalog of our radio, Bible, and book room where we have many, many of the old divine, the old Puritan preachers. We have good commentaries. We have a King James Version Bible. All of them are heavily discounted for our people. And it's just a gracious message. But I ask you, if you would, if you'd like to hear these, get out the gospel, help us with the broadcast. And we always can use a little help on the message, on the financial thing, everything. You know, if anything hadn't gone up, everything's going up now. And it's amazing, but the Lord supplies our needs day by day. And I praise the Lord for it. You ever take time out just to praise the Lord? He says, thank you, Lord, for all of your benefits. I tell my folks here in my congregation, get up in the morning time, put your feet on the floor, take a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, for a good soft bed. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. And thank you, Lord, for a good, a faithful wife in there cooking breakfast. And I can smell the bacon cooking right now, maybe the biscuit. But thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. You have a thankful heart. Scripture tells us be thankful in all things. But this is, we'll come to the close of another Voice of Truth broadcast. And remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. The message you heard was The Fountain of Cleansing, and it's number 344. We'd be glad to send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid. Goodbye, and God bless you.